What is up, everybody, and welcome back to Laying the Points with Farley Betts. It's Tuesday, February 14th, which means it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Fresh off Super Bowl 57. We'll give a recap on this show, what we got right, what we got wrong, what we saw in the game, how impressed I was by Jalen Hurts. How could I not be impressed by Patrick Mahomes? What ultimately made the difference from my purview. And we'll get into some teams to fade and teams to play on next year against the spread, at least from what I'm seeing this season, and how we can adjust next season and get even more wins in the NFL. Finished above, finished around 54, 55% the NFL season, plus 3 units in that final Super Bowl game. Had a huge hit. Eagles winning the first half, Chiefs to win full game, plus 700, actually plus 750 when I gave it out to premium customers. Huge bet that we hit there for the Super Bowl, along with, of course, the Chiefs money line, the over, and Kelce getting his touchdown. Lost a few as well. Thought Isaiah Pacheco was going to go over, rushing, receiving yards, 14 and a half. But he was fed the ball early and often, wasn't he? Pacheco looked great on the ground. And ultimately, that was one of the differences in the game, which is kind of crazy. Chiefs, better running attack than Philly. Maybe better offensive line play than Philly as well. Tackle all that today on today's show. My name is Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. Farley Betts, across social media. I won 5th place in the circuit contest last season. Didn't do so hot this season. Tough year in the NFL, but we'll be back next year. Career 57% NBA winning percentage. Over 100 units won in the last 2.5 seasons. And I am the owner of FarleyBets.com. Check out FarleyBets.com when you get a chance. Free picks over there every single day. Well, most days. I take off here and there because we should in sports betting, right? Check me out at the 33rd team and on the BetUS NBA show as well. What's up, everybody? Happy Valentine's Day again. Thanks for listening to one of the top sports betting podcasts in America. We were doing Laying the Points, hosting Laying the Points for a long time through the Odds Breakers podcast network. Now we're off on our own, building the empire, building our own strategies and philosophies in the sports betting world, and building it and explaining it and teaching it for you, the 99% of sports bettors out there who are just trying to win more, trying to understand the tactics and strategies to win more. That's what I'm here for. And as always, it's a pleasure to be with all of you. Super Bowl 57. Let's start with what I got wrong. Because my thought was that the Eagles haven't seen a lot of elite defenses this year. And not that Kansas City's defense was elite, but they do play better in the postseason. Right? They can step up. We've seen that plenty of times before. But in this Super Bowl, Super Bowl 57, Jalen Hurts, 24 years old, Jalen Hurts, he held that team on his back. Jalen Hurts was not the reason why the Eagles lost the Super Bowl, that's for sure. Now, that slippery football in the first half turned into a Chiefs touchdown. Was that on Jalen Hurts? Yeah, I mean, he fumbled it, right? But I don't think it's like he was nervous or wasn't ready for the moment. I think it just slipped. You know, does that happen if he's plays in another Super Bowl? Probably not, right? And these are the things you learn through more experience, right? You just have a sharper focus, maybe. You know, you look at Patrick Mahomes in that game. Look at his focus. Like, did you see his face throughout that entire game? Patrick Mahomes looked like a serial killer. Like, he looked pissed off for 60 minutes because he wanted that win, right? He wanted that Super Bowl. But Jalen Hurts, ice cold, calm, made great decisions all day, made some unbelievable passes with his arm, some unbelievable throws to Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith. Now, threw some 50-50 balls up to A.J. Brown, but you can do that, right? It worked one time, almost got intercepted on the second time, but I don't think that's a bad decision. I was really impressed by Jalen Hurts, and one of my biggest takes before the game was how little he was challenged leading up to Super Bowl 57. And I thought that he would make a big mistake in the game that would ultimately change the game. Now, did that happen on that fumble? Yes. But I don't think it was because Jalen Hurts wasn't ready or he was shook or because, you know, he was experiencing a situation that he hadn't before. He was great. I mean, he had 70 of the Eagles' 115 rushing yards. The Eagles' rushing offense, which, you know, my father-in-law appropriately said before the game, he goes, Chris, the reason why I think the Eagles might win is because they have that unstoppable running game, right? And they can control the clock. And that's what they did the first half. I mean, Patrick Mahomes didn't have the football in the first half, right? 24-14, the Eagles did what they have done all year, take an early lead by margin. But what was different about this game, and again, I just want to emphasize, I was wrong about Jalen Hurts making a big mistake or not being as cool, calm, and collected in the Super Bowl. He was cool, calm, collected. And there's this great video meme that's coming out right now where Sirianni is like yelling at the refs and Jalen Hurts like takes his arm and like brings it out of the air, like essentially telling him to calm down. Again, I think Nick Sirianni is obviously a bright mind. Eagles have had great offensive creativity all year. Situationally, he has big balls. I mean, the dude goes for it on fourth down all the time. It works out, right? Like, is there a more unstoppable play in football right now than a third and one, fourth and one against the Eagles? Jalen Hurts and his squat power and that offensive line, how low they get, it's unstoppable. So unstoppable that they might change the rules this offseason, right? Because there's a few times where he looked like he got stopped by Chris Jones, and then he kept on getting pushed by his players and he got a first down. Nothing wrong with that. It's legal. Might not be legal very long. But anyway, the difference in this game was the second half. That Eagles defensive line couldn't do anything. Patrick Mahomes had one incompletion the entire second half, and that was a throwaway. Patrick Mahomes scored on every drive in the second half. And, you know, it's not lost on me that now I don't think it was Jalen Hurts' fault. I mean, a few penalties were incurred, drop pass or two that he threw really well. But in the second half is where we saw the Eagles' offense, okay, not as efficient, not as consistent. Second half, more pressure, right? The game's final moments. Do I think that affected Jalen Hurts? Not necessarily. It didn't, sure as hell didn't show me that it affected him. But it's interesting that a less experienced team as a whole had a few more gaffes in the second half, right? A few more mistakes. And let me tell you something. Although I was wrong about the Philly offense and how they would perform in the Super Bowl based on their schedule of opponents, I was right about their defense, because that defense hasn't seen anybody this year. We're talking the Lions and the Cowboys is probably the best offenses they faced. The Vikings, maybe you could say that, but the Vikings were fresh off their biggest win, the biggest win of Kirk Cousins' career against the Packers in week one. Really, like a regular season career win. That was a big one for the Vikings. They came out hot. And then in week two, they had to go to Philly on Monday Night Football. They're not winning that game, right? Like, we've seen that story before. We know how bad the Minnesota Vikings defense is. We know Kirk under pressure. So it was a good win by Philly, but it wasn't that impressive. And it sure as hell wasn't against a great offense on that night. So the Eagles have really only seen the Lions and the Cowboys. And what happened in the second half against the most explosive offense in the NFL, against clearly the best player in the NFL? One incompletion, and it was a throwaway by Mahomes. Scored on every drive. I don't think the Kansas City receivers dropped a pass. Not that I can remember. Juju stepped up, played great. Kadarius Toney, great plays by Kadarius Toney, who came from the New York Giants over to Kansas City. What a spot for him to land, right? That punt return that he had maybe made one of the – maybe that might have been the biggest difference in the game. You know, the Eagles were still up by 1 point, I believe, at that point. Or maybe the game was tied. Maybe the Chiefs were up by 1 point. Yeah, that's right. But either way, now you're giving the ball back to the Chiefs with a chance to make it an 8-point game. And Kadarius Toney takes it from, what, the 35-yard line of the Chiefs all the way into field goal position for the Chiefs. Set up Patrick Mahomes and that offense beautifully. Isaiah Pacheco is the truth, man. Great, hard running all day, over 70 yards on the ground. Got a touchdown. Love to see him get a touchdown. That dude is built different for a rookie. And we saw that coming. Now, our bet on him didn't hit, but we saw that coming, that he'd be used a lot. On the other end, though, although the Eagles' offense was efficient, although Jalen Hurts was great, Eagles wide receivers, 0 expected yards after the catch. When they caught the ball, they were tackled. Spagnuolo and that defense, which is full of young players, especially in their secondary, played really disciplined football. And yeah, they blew some coverage here and there for sure. Wasn't perfect, but they limited the Eagles. They got a sack on the Eagles. Eagles, 0 sacks is the story of this game. Hassan Riddick had 1 tackle in the entire game. And, you know, all we heard before this game was how elite the Eagles offensive line is. And it is, especially in the run game, usually. But it wasn't that effective in this game. The Chiefs offensive line maybe made the biggest difference in the game. And, oh, by the way, one of the more understated talents of Patrick Mahomes is how he shimmies and moves in the pocket. Just knows where to be at all times. Has a great feel for where pressure is coming from. That was the least amount of pressure the Eagles defense got in their last 8 games. Patrick Mahomes, shimmy, 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 make a beautiful, controlled, precise pass. It was a clinic. And you know, something that isn't talked about with Patrick Mahomes enough is his IQ. This dude has a tremendously high football IQ. And, it, you know, his day-to-day IQ is probably pretty high, too. That's what was different about Tom Brady as well, right? Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning. These guys see the field in a different way. And although Jalen Hurts played beautifully, Jalen Hurts did miss a few guys wide open. There was one play in the first half where Dallas Goedert was running straight up the middle of the field. I think it was a 3rd down. Hurts threw to the sideline, basically threw the ball away to A.J. Brown. Could have hit Goddard right down the middle. There's a few instances of that. And that's just, that is a bad experience, right? Like seeing the field, being here before. I mean, it's about preparation. It's about, some of it is about capacity, right? I mean, how smart somebody is. But Jalen Hurts is checking off every box so far. The guy is improving. He can run, obviously. I mean, pound for pound on that 2-point conversion, it looked like he should have been stopped. Nope, those legs kept on churning. Jalen Hurts is a beast, but it takes practice, it takes reps to get to the level or to even try and get to the remote level that Patrick Mahomes is at football IQ-wise. And he's seeing the field better and better. He had that fire in his eyes from the very start. He's not a selfish guy, right? Andy Reid said that in the press conference. This is a guy who never brags, never talks about his accomplishments, is dead set on being the best to ever do it. And oh, by the way, the Chiefs run game, that offensive line, 158 yards. Easily outplayed the Eagles run game. Offensive line outplayed the Eagles offensive line. And they leaned on that run game early. Remember, start that second half. Chiefs are down 24-14. And what did you see from Andy Reid in his playbook? 3 straight running plays to start the second half. Effective running plays. First downs. 6 to 8 yards. Isaiah Pacheco. Offensive line. Experience. Andy Reid. Like at the end of the day, you can sit there on your throne and be like, it's not a bad experience. It's not about their schedule. Okay. You know, a successful trip to the moon is not the same as a successful trip to Mars. Going on the bunny slopes is not the same as the, I'm not a skier, but it's not the same as the tough one, right? At the very top. What is it, like black or whatever? I don't know. They're like color-coded, right? It's not the same. And the Eagles, when all year they faced cupcake opponents, Daniel Jones, Dak Prescott once, Trevor Lawrence early in the year when him and Doug Peterson didn't have a lot of reps and a lot of experience together. Things tend to happen. You tend to get a little shocked by what you're seeing, by what you're feeling in the game, right? And the Eagles defense had no answer. Andy Reid and his mind and his experience, 30 plus years of NFL experience. You don't think in that 30-minute halftime show, he can turn and adjust and talk to his coaches and contrive things that somebody like Nick Sirianni and his two very young offensive coordinators in their 30s, or two young coordinators, offensive and defensive, they're both, I believe they're both in their 30s. There's just a difference. It doesn't mean that the Eagles couldn't have won this game. They were very close. But Andy Reid and their offensive game plan, the Eagles had no answers for it. Absolutely no answers. So, you know, Eagles fans out there, they have to accept the fact. I realize that last penalty sucked. I was, you know, we were all watching the game here. I'm sitting there like, I don't want the game to end like that. You know, Patrick Mahomes probably about to throw a touchdown pass. You know, I'd rather have Patrick Mahomes prove that he's the man and then give it back to Jalen Hurts, see what happens, right? That would have been good football. That would have been a good show. But unfortunately, it ended the way it did. It probably shouldn't have been called. It was a ticky-tack foul, but it was called. And at the end of the day, you know, I know you've heard this 1,000 times by now, but at the end of the day, especially that, what, 25-plus, I forget how long the run is, but when Patrick Mahomes was at a field goal position and he squeaks out of that, you know, away from pressure and runs down the field into field goal position with a bum ankle, maybe two bum ankles. I don't know if it's the same one that he got injured on that one play in the first half. Like, that's it, you know? Like, that's where the Eagles lost the game. The Eagles lost the game on the, you know, what, 15 straight completions in the second half by Patrick Mahomes. So, at the end of the day, the best player on the field was the difference. The experience was the difference. Andy Reid and his unbelievably genius play calling, we've seen that before, was the difference. Eagles will be back, but let me just say this. And we're going to talk about this in our second segment. This could be a quicker show today. But let me just say this. They can't keep on running Jalen Hurts like they are. I've seen enough Eagles games this year to see Jalen Hurts runs. Yes, he's strong, still a little undersized, and he gets hit by these monsters, and he's getting up real slow. You know, this is a guy who's been injured the past two seasons. Injured this year a few games, injured last year. Playing through things all the time because he has this onus with his legs, with his body. That probably can't last if you're the Eagles. And now maybe Jason Kelce is going to leave. Listen, I think this Eagles team is going to be around for a long time, but they were 10-10 against the spread this year. It's not like they were a team you can bet on all the time and count on all the time. They're going to have a much harder schedule next year. Going to be interesting, folks, because, again, with a cupcake schedule, they made it all that way, even in the playoffs cupcake. Things are going to get a little harder from here. And the thing is, too, I don't know if the Eagles are ever going to have a better roster than what they just had. Right? That's a Super Bowl roster. You saw it on the field. I mean, Jalen Hurts, especially on that offense, they answered the call every single time in the entire game. I mean, it was very impressive. But are they going to be able to keep all those guys, fulfill all those contracts? Now, the way they bring players on there, you know, their GM, as an organization, Eagles are a top five organization, you know, front office. So I you know, if I'm an Eagles fan, I have faith that they're going to be back just based off of that. Like, they'll figure it out. And you know, Sirianni probably isn't going anywhere for a long time. Hurts damn sure shouldn't go anywhere for a long time. But this is a good experience for them, right? And now, next season, I guarantee you, even though I was getting flack from Eagles fans and, you know, Twitter haters because they're everywhere. Next year, you're probably going to feel better about the Eagles if they're in the playoffs and they're facing a hard team because they've been through it. Kudos to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. Unbelievable performance by Patrick Mahomes in that offense in the second half. Defense made plays when it mattered, stifled their run game. The better team won, but one hell of a Super Bowl. And Jalen Hurts was damn sure not the reason why the Eagles ultimately lost. I mentioned we won that big bet. Really proud of that. Shout out to my premium customers and all who took it. I put that bet out of the 33rd team as well as my best value bet for the Super Bowl. Mentioned that the Chiefs were going to win many times over 2 weeks. That was my pick on the BetUS show as well. Went 3-2. As a collective, we went 9-3 on the BetUS NFL show for the Super Bowl. Hit 56% this year in the NFL on the BetUS NFL show. That's impressive because, I mean, I'm very proud of that for the show. Scott Kellen was amazing this year. This was a tough year to bet the NFL. A lot of change, a lot of parity. And we still hit over 56% altogether. So, man, exciting. Like I said, check out FarleyBets.com. As the football season has now come to a close, basketball will be our focus. We were 3-1 last night. I continue to give out free picks at FarleyBets.com, but you can sign up for my premium picks anytime. DM me at FarleyBets on Twitter or Instagram for that. And we do handicap UFC, a little bit of baseball, not much. And WNBA and CFL and tennis in the summer as well. And we were really good last year. Still at the top of the charts at sports capping in CFL and WNBA. I think we hit over 56% in both. So look forward to that this summer as well. Free picks at FarleyBets.com, yes. But all the picks if you're a premium customer. All right, really quick, I'm going to go through some teams that I'm looking at to fade or to play on next year. And then we're going to wrap this puppy up because Farley Betts has a lot going on today. But we'll talk more about these teams, talk more about teams to fade or play on as we continue to navigate the offseason at the 33rd team, especially with that great crew over there, Ryan Reynolds, Josh Larkey, and Jordan Bannick, and all the guys and gals over there at 33rd team. You're going to get a lot of great content from them this offseason. But real quick, teams to fade or play on next year, be careful about playing on the Giants and Lions next year. Lions now two straight seasons where they have beat the books. They were second this year, first last year against the spread. Giants were the number one team this year. The jury is out on the Lions, okay? This is a try-hard, good team, growing team, a lot of young athletes. They're not going to cover the spread. They're not going to be valued the same way next season. So be a little more careful when you're betting on the Lions. I'd be careful on the Giants too, because the Giants also benefited from a cupcake schedule. You know, you look at who the Giants played. They allowed 16 points per game, their defense did, against bad offenses or against mediocre to bad offenses. Offenses like Carolina, right? Offenses like Houston, Washington, against top-tier offenses, Philly, Dallas. I put Minnesota in there because the Giants just didn't play many great offenses. Those offenses scored 30 points per game on the Giants, okay? And they're going to see more teams like that next year. So be careful betting on the Giants next season. Dolphins as well. The Dolphins are kind of everybody's, like, low-key favorite team, I think. That's not your favorite team, right? They're fun to watch. Speed, speed, speed. When Tua was healthy, they put up a lot of points. Now they've got Fangio over there working their defense. Their defense should only improve. They got some guys on that end of the ball too. This is going to be a good team if they stay healthy, but they're not going to be, you know, you're not going to get the same value on them, right? They're not going to open up the season as an underdog in three straight games. I don't care who they face. So Dolphins may be something to look at there. Eagles, like I said, 10-10 against the spread last year. And that's when teams didn't really believe the hype necessarily, right? Oh, Eagles are good. Yeah, we'll see. Well, they turned out to be really good. Went to the Super Bowl, but they were still 10-10 against the spread. Careful, just assuming that the Eagles are going to roll over teams next year, especially if they're missing a few pieces that they had this season. And now they're going to have more of a target on their back, right? Teams like the Bengals are different. Like, Bengals had a target on their back this season. They were still really good. Still one of the top ATS teams. Still almost made it to the Super Bowl. I mean, that team is built different. And that might be the Eagles. But just be cautious. Teams that I think will get better. The Broncos. Listen, it's Sean Payton. He's a culture setter. You hear it from everybody who knows anything about Sean Payton. X's and O's are there for sure. He's going to improve their offense. But Russell Wilson needs to take a step down. He's not the man anymore, right? He has his own office, has his own physical therapist, apparently. No. Here comes Sean Payton. Here comes an adult in the room. Things are going to get better for the Broncos, and they still have a lot of talent. Remember, Javonte Williams went down early last season. He was ready to just explode on the running back scene. Their wide receivers were injured on and off all year. Obviously, they got rid of Chubb. They're going to be a better team. They finished the season strong too, right? They got a few ATS wins. They got a few wins in there. Expect the Broncos to be better. Wait on the Jets until the QB situation is figured out. But if they get a competent QB, they could be a play-on team. The Steelers were already 10-6-1 against the spread last year. But I think the Steelers are going to continue to be undervalued because they're in the same division as the Ravens, the Bengals, and the Browns are going to be better next year with Deshaun Watson getting more reps with that team. Steelers, though, still going to have a top-tier defense, in my opinion. I like Kenny Pickett a lot. And there's a lot of young players on that offense that can grow around him. And they know that they need to improve their offensive line. I expect them to. Browns, doesn't matter what you feel about Deshaun Watson. He was arguably a top-five quarterback when he was in his prime for the Texans. Watch out for the Browns. Still extremely talented. I think DeMeco Ryans is the real deal. I think that Houston defense is going to be really feisty this next season. Look out for them. The Ravens, as long as they get Lamar, as long as they keep Lamar, I think they're going to be a team to really watch out for. If Lamar's happy, everything's kosher there. If he stays healthy, again, they had a lot of injuries on defense. They're going to be more of a force this next season, in my opinion. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, even though they're going to be valued differently, that's a team on the rise, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of young talent on that team, especially on defense. But Trevor Lawrence, we saw him hit a new stride. I know they're exciting. Everyone's kind of loving the Jaguars right now, wanting to bet on them, wanting to cheer for Trevor. I think there's something to it. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll be back with a guest on Thursday. This week I'm going to do Tuesday, Thursday. Most weeks probably Monday, Wednesday, but I digress. Should have a guest on Thursday that I think you'll really enjoy. Like I said, check me out, the 33rd team on the BetUS NBA show as the season goes on. And I will catch you all later. Chris R. Farley, a.k.a. Farley Bet, signing out. Congrats to the Chiefs. How about them Chiefs? Congrats to Jalen Hurts, too. What a great game. Congrats to us for winning our Super Bowl bets. See you later.